に安らんだ感動いやすらげりんぎらんが感動ルイスさしけれれうらんしゃばわい
Wake up is correct. Wake up, everybody. I want to just start out by saying everybody's mic is live and we are on the air. And thank you for another day, grand rising, and all the positive attributes that you can think of, right? So that's somebody that did not hear what I said. Everybody's microphone is on. So please be conscious of your background noise right now. I'd like for everybody to, well, the panelists, specifically the panelists, all right, to start out by talking about a situation that you have, a challenge that you had to face, and briefly explain the challenge and how you overcame it. Now, I know you weren't prepared, but that's the whole idea. You know, this is Martin Luther King celebration or acknowledgement, a weekend of service, right? But the service that black people have provided and built in this country, right, is something that, you know, we try to express every week on our show, right? So without any further ado, I'm going to do the introductions And Mr. Harris, I'm going to come to you first, and then Tanisha, and then myself, about a challenge that you had to face and that you managed to overcome. And music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words do have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. I'm asking each and every one of you to pull back the musical curtain as we shine a light today on Stevie Wonder, right? To see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves and definitely vibrations. So I want to thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, as every week, we welcome you to another edition of Quest featuring student hosts Justin Hill and Brielle Claire. All right. And starting with Mr. Harris, good morning, first of all, and take it away.
Yes, good morning, everyone, on this bright, sunny day. Yeah, this was kind of out of the blue, you know, as far as challenges and stuff. But the biggest challenge that I think that I had to go through, like, recently in my life was the working on my master's degree. You know, at first I thought it was something that was, you know, beyond my reach. And, you know, until I actually went out there and actually put myself in a position to be able to make it come to fruition. And it was hard, I'm not gonna lie. You know, it was hard, and, you know, and I kind of second guessed myself at first, you know, but then once I focused and figured out that there was really nothing that I couldn't do, and I don't like to say it like that, but, you know, once I put that mindset in my head, I just was able to go ahead and find out that it really wasn't as hard as I thought it was. I was really stopping myself instead of, you know, letting other people try to hinder what I was doing. And, you know, so what I got out of that was that you have to believe in yourself. And a lot of things can happen for you that you really didn't consider in the beginning. And it'll always come out the right way. But it all comes down with a personal mindset. I don't know if this is what you were looking for, but this is what I got.
And that's what we will take. Thank you so much. And Tanisha, Miss Gardner, I know it catches you off guard as well, but keep it brief, please. Tanisha Gardner, you're up. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. So just real quick, so I live in Ironbound, and several of the residents in Ironbound and also neighboring activists came together to fight against the city and also Don Pepe, because they wanted to build a 20-story high rise near where Penn Station, where in the surrounding area where Penn Station coming back to the Ironbound, and they actually changed the ordinance. It was called the MX3, where they actually changed the zoning law. And we actually fought against the city because they wanted to build a 20-story building, and we ended up getting it down to 12. So thank you.
Okay. No, thank you. Definitely compelling stories and challenges. You know, I don't know where to start. Every day is a challenge for me. But I would say in my lifetime, my biggest challenge was when I had to change my whole repertoire. You know, I was a school teacher working every day, and in the midst of that, lost that job and had to find a new one, right? And at that point, I decided that I would just not just look for a job, but I would look for a career, something that I could be happy with doing and something that no one would be able to take away from me. So I'm still on that journey, and that journey is to become a voice actor. And I learned that it starts, it's all about the mindset, right? We are told what to do all our lives, but we're never told that we can tell ourselves what we can do. And so I think the biggest accomplishment that I made was when I went actually to Los Angeles, California, and actually had an opportunity to meet some great voice actors in California and movie executives, right? And the young people, you don't know Mel Blanc, right? But I was literally a stone's throw from the studio that he used to record the Bugs Bunny cartoons, and he did other cartoon character voices as well, right? And so the challenge still continues in life for me as I just try to make this thing work every week with what we do here as well. Now, I don't want to put this on the young people, right, but I'll save it for the end. Good morning, Brielle.
Good morning, everybody.
And good morning, Justin.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay, Justin, I will allow you to moderate and take it away.
Welcome back, everybody. You're all tuned into Quest Youth Radio, and we are on air every Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m. And the station is 89.5 FM. And it's WSOU. Do you want me to do my first segment?
Absolutely. You're in control.
Okay. So I'm going to introduce myself first. And my name is Justin Hill, a.k.a. Justin G's, a.k.a. J2 Tom's, you know. And what I have for you today is my first segment of Diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. And, you know, my dying segment for you today is my favorite basketball player of all time, and he plays for my favorite basketball team, Stephen Curry, and he plays for the Golden State Warriors, you know, yeah. Stephen Curry is an American professional basketball player who plays for the Golden State Warriors. He is known as being one of the greatest of all time and the greatest shooter in NBA history. He's also most known for shooting deep threes. And, you know, I'm adding a little something. Every time he gets the ball, he either shoots deep threes or he either goes in for a layup. And he has received many awards, like an MVP award. Curry is the son of former NBA player Dell Curry, but is also the older brother of NBA player Seth Curry. But before he was drafted by the Warriors in the 2009 draft, he played college basketball for the Davidson Wildcats. And that is it for my first segment of today, which is Diamonds, and I thank God for me.
Okay, so you get to decide which direction we go from here.
Okay, now we are going to go into music, and we will be back with Brielle's next segment.
All right. Thank you so much. And in honor of Martin Luther King, again, I want to play another Stevie Wonder cut, right, that pretty much sums up how I feel about living in America.
Thank you.
Okay, as we turn down the music, it's time to turn up our content and continue our broadcast, right? And as I turn it over to our student moderator and host, Justin Hill, take it away.
Welcome back, everybody, and it's now time for Leo's segment. Good morning, everybody, and today for my first diamond, I will be doing Ruby Bridges. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past selves, the pain of your mother, the taste of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Ruby Bridges was born on September 8th in 1954. For most of her life, she had taken care of her five younger siblings. Although she spent her free time playing softball, climbing trees, or jumping rope. At the segregated kindergarten in New Orleans, an all-white William France Elementary School decided to create an exam for African Americans, and if they passed, they can come to the school. The school thought African Americans were not smart enough for the advanced test. Ruby and five other African Americans passed the test. Ruby's parents decided whether she can go to the all-white school a couple blocks down or just stay in her school. Her father worried about her safety while her mother wanted her to have an opportunity to have a better education. Three of those five students agreed to stay in the original school while the other two were sent to another all-white school. On her first day of William France School, she walked past crowds shouting and cursing at her. She was pulled to the principal's office due to angry parents that pulled their children out of the school. Barbara Henry was the only teacher who accepted Ruby, and for months it was only them. She ate alone and played with her teachers sometimes at recess. Some families supported her. Her dad, Aban, lost his job and grocery stores and the grocery stores refused to sell stuff to her mom, Lucy. As she got older, she graduated from a desegregated high school. Many years later, she was married and became a travel agent and had four sons. She reunited with the teacher from elementary in the 90s. Ruby had wrote two books about her experience, and still today, she is a lifelong activist about racial equality. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my diamond segment on Ruby Bridges.
Okay, so you need to hand that over to Justin.
And I'm going to hand it over to Justin.
Thank you, Brielle, for your segment of Ruby Bridges. And now we're going to go into music, and I'll be back with my next segment of Diamonds. And it is on Warwick Dunn.
And we're back. Student host Justin, we're back.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, I am student host Justin Hill on WSOU. And again, it is now time for my next segment of Diamonds. And my Diamond segment is on Work Done. Work Done is an American former, professional football player who played the position as running back. He played in the NFL for 12 seasons. He was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 1997 NFL Draft. He has also received many awards like Rookie of the Year. Also, he has a charity called Work Done Charities and another charity called Homes for the Holidays. And that is it for my Done segment. And we'll be back with BL's next segment of definitions on intelligence.
Back to you, Justin. Well, actually, I want you to, you know, swing it over to Brielle. But first, before you do, why did you choose to do Stephen Curry and Warwick Dunn as your diamonds for the day?
I chose Stephen Curry and Warwick Dunn because Stephen Curry, he also has charity with his wife Aisha Curry, and it was called the Eat, Run, Play Foundation. And I also picked him because he is my favorite basketball player of all time, and I really like how he plays basketball. You know, and he also connects with one of my definition segments. And I chose Work Done because I like football, you know, and I also like his charities. Him and his mom started the Homes for the Holidays Foundation because a lot of single parents, they don't have homes, so they created that foundation. And that was really why I chose him.
All right. Thank you so much for that insight. And now you can hand it over to your co-host.
And now I'm going to pass it over to BL's next segment, to BL's segment of definitions.
Welcome back, everybody, and it is Brielle, and I, like you said, I'm going to be doing my segment on definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Intelligent, having or showing intelligence, especially of a high level. And Ruby Bridges had the intelligence to pass the very difficult test to make a difference with her bravery. And again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment of definitions on intelligence.
Thank you, Brielle. Now, is now time. I'm going to go into my definition segment, and it is on humble. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition of humble is basically like Stephen Curry. He's humble when he plays games. He doesn't really use all that energy when he like makes a shot. He just continues playing the game. And other examples, like me, you know, I'm humble. I'm very humble. And again, humble is basically just like doing what you have to do and not like bragging about your accomplishments. And that is really my definition of humble. And we are going to go into the music, and we will be back with Brielle's next segment.
Okay, I did play a little music. I played that song already, but I want to come back and I want to talk about that definition of humble, right? And Justin, I just want you to really pay attention. Mr. Harris, I'm going to start with you. No, I'm going to start with Tanisha, Ms. Tanisha Gardner. He just gave a definition of humble, right? What do you think so far? What do you think about that definition of the word humble?
Humble is good. Humble, one, you have to know oneself. Oneself, yes, you have a right to have pride in yourself. You have a right to have integrity for yourself. You have a right to believe in yourself. But with humbleness, you have all those attributes to show how great you are, but at the same time, you also shine a light on someone else's greatness. And that's what it means to be humble, in my opinion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Harris, now I'm coming to you. What do you think about the definition or the word humble itself?
Well, humble to me by itself is almost like you're lowering your status. You know, even though, like Tanisha said, you can be proud, but just being humble by itself without having all of those other attributes is not necessarily a positive thing in my mind, you know, because it says that you're really not as great as you are. And, you know, and that's something we have in our community that we need to kind of work on, the fact that there are things that go on in our community and people will say stuff and we will readily be trying to be humble so we won't stand out and be like up front, you know, and that's sometimes that takes away from the positiveness that you're trying to do for yourself. Now see, and all that comes from the oppression that our oppressors have given us over the years, teaching us that we need to, because we need to like bow our head to the greatness of other people and keep all your greatness within yourself and not be able, not express it out in the regular world. And, you know, so it's good to be humble as long as you understand that there's greatness in you and you're just doing that to placate somebody else, not really taking anything away from yourself. So that's kind of how I look at humble a little bit. It's a good thing, and it's like a, what they say is a double-edged sword. So it'll cut you coming in.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, thank you, Ms. Gardner, and thank you, Mr. Harris. And if you allow me just a moment to chime in, right, equate humbleness with being respectful. And I want to double down on Mr. Harris's point that, you know, in our community, there's a problem with self-esteem, okay? And there is not a problem with allowing your confidence and your abilities to shine, right, and vibrate at the highest levels. And that can be mistaken as being a show-off. And, you know, that one of the definitions, Justin, one of the definitions of being humble is being subservient, you know. And I have no desire to be subservient to anyone or anybody. But at the same token, I will be respectful of all, right? So, you know, you have to develop a high self-image, a high self-esteem of yourself, right? It's a total mindset, right? And, you know, we live in a society where, again, like I started out the show, you're told what to think. You're told how to live and what to do. And so the question that I ask is, when do you step up and you decide who you are going to be and you make your own decisions and you allow yourself to shine?
Thank you.
Cindy, Mama, you understand that?
No.
Well, like, I don't understand how you can, because, like, I've been to, you know, Paris, Beirut, you know, I've been to Iraq, Iran, Eurasia, you know, I speak very, very fluent Spanish, Todo Dabian, Chevere.
Listen up, Jing Chevere.
Chevere?
Jing
Chevere. Is that right, Mama? Yes, yeah, I got my shaker, you know, those things.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, Mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, Mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it.
Don't you worry about a thing.
And we're back. I want to apologize, Justin. I kind of stepped on you when you before I played the song. So I want to hand it back over to you humbly. As I died. Good morning again. Justin, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And now it's time for Brio's segment of Diamonds.
Welcome back, everybody. And I'm on to my next Diamonds segment, which is on Maya Angelou. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Margaret Johnson was born on April 4th, 1928. When Margaret was 7, she was abused by her mother's boyfriend. She told her brother about it, and he told the rest of the family. The mom's boyfriend, Freeman, only went to jail for one day, and when he was released, he was killed 4 days after. Margaret became mute for almost 5 years. She stated that her voice killed him, and she never spoke again because she thought she would kill someone. At the age of 16, she became the first black female streetcar conductor in San Francisco. She became a poet and writer and an actress, director for plays, movies, and public television. She then married Tosh Angelou and took modern dance classes and met professional dancers and choreographers, Alvin Ailey and Beck Ford. She performed a modern dance in a black organization, but never became successful. So Margaret and her son and her husband moved to New York so she can study African dance with Trinidadian dancer Pearl Primus. Although her marriage ended shortly after returning to San Francisco, she professionally danced at clubs around San Francisco, including the Purple Onion, where she sang calypso music and named herself Margaret Johnson or Rita, although producers suggested her name should be Maya Angelou. She was then offered a position in the SCLC with Martin Luther King Jr. With Dr. King's work, she moved to Ghana with her son and moved right back to the United States in the mid-60s. She then wrote a book, Why the Caged Bird Sings, and it became a book read in school, and it was against race, abuse, and violence. It took her 15 years to finish her volume, her final volume of autobiography of a song flung up to heaven in 2002. 11 years later, in 2013, she was recipient of the Literarian Reward. Although, a year later, she sadly died at the age of 86 in 2014. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my Diamond segment on Maya Angelou.
Thank you, Brielle. And now we're going to go into music, and I'll be back with my next segment, or my last segment of today, which is Definition.
Okay, we don't have time for music right now. We have to continue on with our segments. Okay, and I do believe I'd like to take a moment to talk to Brielle. Brielle, tell us, why did you choose the two diamonds for today, Maya Angelou and Ruby Bridges?
So first, I chose Ruby Bridges because first I heard a lot about it in school and I became very inspired because at a young age, at the age of 6 years old, she was able to, her bravery, she was able to come into a school even with a lot of hate, a lot of hate and barely anybody encouraged her. So that's why I chose her because maybe without her, maybe we wouldn't have been able to, go to a school with white and black people. And the reason why I chose Maya Angelou was because she was also very inspiring because she did many things. She was a writer. She was an actress, a director. She was able to take a position in SCLC and to talk to Martin Luther King Jr. So that's why I chose those two people for my Diamonds for segments.
Okay. Hand it back to Justin.
Thank you, Leo. And now I will go into my last segment of today, which is definitions. This segment provides the listener with the words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care, say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. It must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition segment is on reparations. And reparations are broadly understood as compensation given for an abuse or injury. Also, victims of historical injustices who have no positive law claim against wrongdoers often seek reparations from government, and occasionally they obtain them. And that is it for my segment of definitions. And now we will go into Bill's last segment of today.
So, welcome back, everybody. And I am back with my second, which is my last segment, but I am back with my second definition. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. So originally, my definition was supposed to be redlining. But I found out that there was a definition that had the same exact meaning, which is systemic racism has a similar meaning to redlining. So systemic racism is basically racism in the law. And as we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday this weekend, we can reflect on his fight in inequality. And we have progress by having integrated schools. However, we still can include Black people fairly. And like in an example, some cases like back then, or there's some cases now where white people and Black people have made crimes, but they let the white person go, but had the Black person go to jail. But again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my definition on systemic racism.
Thank you, Brielle. And now we will go into music.
Well, we're not going to music.
Then what do we do?
You tell us what you learned today. And then, Brielle.
What I learned more about your segment, Maya Angelou, because I didn't know that, her real name was Margaret Johnson, and that was basically what I learned today.
And something that I learned from Justin's segment about Stephen Curry was how he was able to give money to homeless people, because I didn't know that he did that. I thought he was just a basketball player, but I didn't know that he actually helped homeless people or people that didn't have homes, and he was able to give them money. And that's what I learned today.
Okay. Mr. Harris, what did you learn today, and what did you think about the show? And I need to say, I need you to be brutally honest, and we'll come back to Mr. Harris in just a moment. But Tanisha Gardner, same questions. Did you learn anything today, and what did you think about the show?
That we need reparations, and we need to strategize more and step up our game. And it was a good show.
I actually found a person who was against reparations. I can't remember his name, a black businessman who said that he felt that he pulled himself up by his own bootstraps and he became a businessman. He overcame the odds against him. And he didn't feel as though anybody owed him anything or owed black people anything, and that everybody has the same opportunity in America to make something out of themselves. And he did not feel that we deserve any type of handout.
Mr. Bay, one has nothing to do with other, with another. One, when something is deliberately done to you, it's a difference when you take your God-given right to be able to achieve and make one for self. That's different. Of course you're supposed to do that. That's not a handout. That's you believing in yourself and you pushing forward versus someone deliberately destroying towns, creating systems that deliberately affect your wealth for you to be prosperous and be able to leave a legacy. So that's the case. The Jews should have never received reparations. That's the case. The Japanese should not have received reparations. So he needs to go back and understand the difference between the two and understand our worthiness and accomplishments that we have done as a people. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Harris, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I agree with her 1,000%. And, but reparations, see, people think that's just something we did after the Civil War. We still had 250 years prior to that of free labor, that, that the dominant society would not be the dominant society if it wasn't for our free labor. And it's not like we're saying, you need to give us everything we deserve, but you need to give us something. Because we gave you everything for nothing. And, and that was the reparations part. And I feel that. And, and it's also like when we were talking about systemic racism, when Brielle brought that up, that was another way of denying people the right to like whoever that boy was who said that we didn't need any reparations. I don't even consider him like as an important person, but he has his own point of view. But you have to understand that no one does anything in this world by themselves. No one pulls themselves up. Even Martin Luther King said, how are you gonna pull yourself up by your bootstraps if you don't have boots? There are a lot of things that we don't take into consideration when a lot of us who consider themselves leaders or head of our community and feel like they speak for our community when they're only speaking for themselves. So there's a lot that has to be said. A lot of the concepts that were brought up today as far as intelligence, as far as being humble, and see, that's, I already said something about being humble. You're kind of holding yourself back to other people because you don't be humble for yourself. You be humble for other people. They see that, this guy is always cutting himself short, because that's basically what being humble is. You're playing yourself short. And, so if you're always doing that, people won't even know that you do have intelligence, that you are, that you understand that there are different systemic racism built into our society. The fact that we weren't even human beings in the beginning. But we can go on for a long time. I just want to say it was a wonderful show as far as information being passed back and forth. And I like stuff like that.
All right. The challenge today was being able to deal with Mr. Bay. Justin, take it away and close us out. Thank you, everyone.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on Question Radio. Make sure you check out our next show on 89.5 FM from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Question for radio is the best
youth radio.
Turning your play into a tragedy. Exhibit level degree on the mic. Passionately, niggas are sweet, so I bet if I bid, I get a cavity. Living to get high, you ain't fired in gravity. We die hard like the battery, thrown in the back of me by the mad MC. Who think imitation's the highest form of flattery. Actually, don't be mad at me, I had to be the one to break it to you. You be kicked into obscurity like judo. No menudo, cause you pseudo. Trying to compete for reality like Xerox. Towards destruction, you're spiraling like hairlocks. Wipe some teardrops, chase the stars in your eyes. Playing games with your lives, letterwise is widow. Soaking up pillows, weeping like willows. Still no black is dying, cause they live and they trying. How to Make a Slave by Willie Lynch is still applying. Regardless, the most is one of my closest partners. Rocking ever since before Prince was called the artist. Rocking before Fuck Master Flex was rocking starter. When Pac and Biggie was still cool before they was martyrs. Life or death if I'm choosing, with every breath I'm enhancing. Stop, there comes a time when you can't run.
Lyrically handsome, go collect the king's ransom. Gems I write to become the ghetto anthem. Play out like Bruce Wayne's mansion. Move like a phantom. You talk about me to your grandson. Cats who claiming they hard be mad facts, so I run through them like blood water through sandbags. Competition is mad, what I got, they can't have. Sick of they shit, like Moby Dick, this Ahab. To the way past the minimum, interim millennium. My rap's the holy gas in your back, like Palestinians. Ancient Abyssinian, Charlotte Horner Gideon. Official B-boy gentleman, long term never the interim. Born inside the winter wind, they at the dissimulation. These simpletons, they mentioning the synonym for feminine. Sweeter than some cinnamon, the Danish range by intermen. Rush up on the